Well, Nigel, thank you very much for the very kind words of welcome, returning to Points Pass this morning. And if you're a little bit late with your service this morning, the fault is mine. I thought it was 11:30 and therefore was held up a little bit on the road, but glad nonetheless to be here with you today. Before I read the Word of God, I'd like to thank all of you for your interest and prayers for the work of Acre Gospel Mission. As you know, Brazil has been in the news these days, and in the city of Manaus, why, it's a very critical situation, and now beyond Manaus into outlying towns and villages, why, we have lost a lot of good friends. I say lost, why, they've gone to be with the Lord. But Manaus has got a population of 2 million people, about the same population as Northern Ireland. Every day in the city of Manaus, why, there's not enough medicines, not enough oxygen, not enough room in hospitals. They're putting stretchers and tents outside the hospitals. So bad is the situation. In the city, there's about 200 people die every day. You take that in a ratio of Northern Ireland, shows you how critical the situation is. As a mission, we've started an emergency fund, and already we've sent out more than £50,000, and our workers are there taking food out to needy families, medicines, oxygen, hygienic masks, etc., and giving financial aid where that is necessary. You probably heard that at New Tribes Missionary, Philip Jansma went to be with the Lord Friday week ago. Philip was at school. Our girls were at school with him in Brazil when we lived there. We met him just a few years ago. Philip was only 48 years of age. He got COVID and went to be with the Lord. Philip had 12 children, 6 of his own and 6 adopted children. Him and his wife Christy were hoping to open up a children's ministry, a children's haven. And now Philip was gone. His wife has gone down with COVID. His mother's down with COVID. When he was buried, only 3 people were allowed at the graveside. His wife couldn't go, so 2 daughters and the leaders of New Tribes Mission were there. This week, well, it's been heartbreaking. A new pastor at the Calvary Baptist Church in Boa Vista, he's only been there for 2 months. He went to be with the Lord on Thursday. His wife is incubated on a ventilator, and she doesn't know that her husband has died. Other pastor friends of ours are in ventilators, and really the situation is very grave. Would you pray for the situation there in Brazil? Thank you so much for the opportunity of saying that. We're reading the scriptures this morning from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 14. For these days, I feel the Lord has laid this message upon my heart, and although I've given it elsewhere, even this morning, although I'd really settled on preaching something else, I felt constrained since coming to return to this Matthew chapter 14. And we're reading that at verse 22. Verse 22, Matthew 14. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went on to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And amen. God always blesses to us the reading of his sacred word. Nigel reminded us this morning that we live in a very beautiful part of the world. Why, this little province of ours, we have so much beauty and places of outstanding beauty compacted together. The splendor of the mountains of Mourne, the rugged beauty of the Antrim coast, the beauty of the lakes of Fermanagh, and so we could go on, and rightly do we speak well of this little province. However, having travelled in many parts of the world, for me, one of the most beautiful spots on this earth is the Sea of Galilee. We've been reading about it this morning. To be there, as we've been so many times, and some of you perhaps have been there, and you will agree with me, the blue Galilee is something to behold. To be there at 5 o'clock in the morning and to see the sun coming up over the Golan Heights and shimmering across the lake, why, it is beautiful. The rabbis say that when God created all of the oceans, he created the Sea of Galilee for himself. Let's remember that the ministry of our Lord Jesus was generally around the Sea of Galilee. In Mark chapter 1, verse 28, it tells us that the fame of him spread throughout all of Galilee. And why? Because of the wonderful works that the Lord Jesus did. You'll remember that with the sea, why he did miracles with the water, beside the water, on the water, in the water. Why, he's the admiral of the fleet. He's the Lord of the seas. This was our Lord Jesus Christ. In our reading this morning, we have been reading of the disciples, and they had a wonderful day at Galilee. They had just come from the feeding of the 5,000, at least 5,000 people, when our Lord had miraculously taken 5 loaves and 2 fishes, gave it to his disciples, and they spread it, distributed it amongst the multitudes, and then they took up 12 baskets full. Can you imagine what a day it was for them? They were filled with confidence, maybe a little bit of self-confidence, filled with joy for all that had happened. But alas, later on that day, when the Lord Jesus constrained them to get into a boat and to go to the other side, their beautiful day, wonderful day, turned to a night of disaster, almost disaster for them. These were seasoned fishermen. And yet the Bible reminds us that when they got into the boat and went go to the other side, when they were in the midst of the sea, that is the most distant part from the land, the Bible tells us that the fourth watch of the night, that is about 3 o'clock in the morning, the darkest hour of the day, the Lord Jesus was absent from them. The Bible says there arose a great storm, and they were troubled. They were terrified. Why, the winds in Galilee are not uncommon. The hot air of the Mediterranean funnels down through the valleys and onto that lake, that Sea of Galilee, which is 600 feet below sea level, and boils up such a storm that these fishermen, they were absolutely terrified. Isn't it just like our Lord that when they were at the most distant part, when they were at the darkest hour, Jesus came unto them? That's always like our Savior. Incidentally, going back to storms, can I say that storms in the Christian life are part of the pathway? Someone has said that in your Christian life, you're either going into a storm, or you're in a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. Circumstances that come upon us cause those storms. It can be a sudden phone call, or a message from the hospital, or unemployment, or a financial crisis. Why, storms, they seem to be so boisterous all around us, and suddenly we can be plunged into the midst of such a storm. I feel there are some lessons in our reading here this morning about our blessed Lord Jesus, and I want us to consider just 3 things. First of all, I want us to think of the storm on the Sea of Galilee, and then we'll be thinking of the Savior on the Sea of Galilee, and then, of course, we'll be thinking of the Saint Peter walking on the Sea of Galilee. Just a simple outline, but I ask you to bear with us this morning as we think of the storm on the Sea of Galilee. And that day, as I said, for those disciples had been a wonderful day, but quite suddenly the storm at night was upon them, and everything seemed to change. As I've said already, storms are not unusual on the Sea of Galilee, and storms are not unusual in our Christian lives. Maybe I'm speaking to someone this morning, and that's what you're going through. Why, across our province there are many troubled hearts. As a matter of fact, in the midst of this pandemic, there are broken hearts. There are people who are depressed and some in despair this morning because of unemployment. I don't know what your storm would be, but can I remind you of this storm? The first thing I think about this storm is that it was in the Savior's plan. Remember, they had got into the ship not at their own will, but at the constraint of the Lord Jesus. His constraint was not to go to the midst of the sea. It wasn't to go and be shipwrecked or to be drowned in the sea. He was sending them to the other side. And therefore, this was all in his plan. I say that to you this morning because the Bible reminds us that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And whatever circumstances may be upon you this morning, let's remember that our God is not only aware of it, he is in control of that storm. He is the one who guides our pathway. I say that this morning because over there in Psalm 107, verses 24 and 25, it reminds us that the seas are in his hand. Listen to it. See the works of the Lord and the wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raises the stormy wind, which lift the wheel thereof. He's the master of the sea. He was in control of those circumstances. And I say to you this morning, the Lord is in control of your situation. Audrey and I were reading this morning as we read through the Psalms, Psalm 146, and the last verse reminds us that the Lord God reigneth through all generations. Isn't that fantastic this morning? This pandemic may have taken us by surprise and overcome our governments by surprise, but it's never taken God by surprise because he is absolutely in control. The storm was part of his plan. Not only so, the storm was not only in his plan, they were in his prayers. Can't you see those disciples toiling, as the Mark tells us, toiling in the middle of the night, trying to make way? Oh, down there, it was hard, it was difficult, it was dark. But up there, Jesus was praying for them. What a wonderful picture of the Christian life today. We may be in the midst of a crisis, in the midst of the storm, but let's remember where he is. He is before the throne of God, touched with every feeling of our infirmity, and he is the one who intercedes for us. I remember my colleague Fred Orr, who is now with the Lord, was at a Bible seminary in Canada. And before he would speak to the students, he said to them, I'd like you to take a piece of paper and write on the piece of paper the names of two people who pray for you. So the students did that. And then Fred asked, well, all those who put down mum and dad, please raise their hand. And just about half of the students put their hand up. Now he said, for the others, those who put a brother, sister, friend, or a church, raise your hand. Just about the other half put their hand up. Then Fred asked this question, how many people put these two names down? Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. My friend, can I say that they intercede for us? Why, in the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 27, it reminds us that when we know not how to pray, the Spirit also helpeth us, aids us with groanings that cannot be uttered. He is interceding for us. And that is why when we come to God to pray, we come by the aid and unction of the blessed Holy Spirit. And remember, the other one is the one who is before the throne. A great high priest up there, but he's touched with everything that we feel down here. They were in the midst of the storm. They were in his plan, but thank God they were in his prayers. In London, St. Paul's Cathedral has got an area that is known as the Whispering Gallery. It is said at the end of the 19th century, that a young couple were in the Whispering Gallery, and they had been going through difficult times. Money was scarce and food was little. And they were sharing one with the other, what are we going to do? They didn't know that their voice would be carrying around the Whispering Gallery, and a man on the other side of the Whispering Gallery could hear their quiet conversation. It so turned out that that man was William Gladstone, the Prime Minister of England, the Prime Minister of Great Britain at that time. And when he heard the whisper of their conversation, he came round and gave them a gift that took care of their rent and took care of their weekly ration. Why? Because he could hear the whisper of their prayers. Thank God we have a great intercessor. Over there in Mark chapter 6, it tells us of this same storm. And it says this word, that when Jesus saw them, listen, they couldn't see Jesus, but Jesus could see them. Isn't that our lives? We feel, where is God in the midst of all this? My friend, the storm is in his plan. They were in his prayers. And thank God, our Lord Jesus gave them strength. The storm on the sea. Can I say just a word or two about the Savior on the sea? Why, the Bible reminds us that Jesus, when he saw them, he came to them. As I've already said, isn't that just like our Lord? Remember in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve fled from the face of God and hid themselves one from another. It wasn't Adam and Eve who came to God. God came to them. Remember in the days of judgment when God looked upon the earth and the imagination of a man's thought was only evil continually. It's not Noah who went to God, but rather Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God came to Noah. God came to Abraham. God came to Moses. And that's just like our Lord. In the hour of our greatest need, he comes to us. And when he comes, I ask you to notice his presence. He said these words, "It is I, be not afraid." What they needed to know in the midst of the storm is that our Lord Jesus was near. That is why I say this morning when we read the story, we put this little phrase out. There is no need to fear when Jesus is near. No need to fear when Jesus is near. "It is I, be not afraid." It was his voice that reminded them of the nearness of his presence. And they should have remembered his promise. For he had promised that he would not leave them. My friend, isn't that how it is with them? I love this as it's told over there in John chapter 6. I remember as a young man, I had almost been drowned. And afterwards, in full surrender to the Savior, I felt God calling me, the constraint of my heart, to be a missionary. My mum thought it was a notion that would pass, but I remember sharing it with the pastor, and he told me, "Go home and tell the Lord how you feel. And ask God that if it's him who's speaking to you, then let him speak into your heart out of the scriptures. Don't open the Bible at random. Take your daily reading and ask God to speak to you." My friend, can I say, when you open God's word, do believe that God opens his mouth to speak with you. This is the word of God. And so I remember that evening going home and in the quietness of my bedroom saying, "Lord, I fully surrender. If this is your voice, I'm ready to go or ready to say whatever it is." And I read down through John chapter 6, and when I came to verse 20, it seemed to jump out from the page. It just said, "It is I. Be not afraid." Can I say, my friend, that's over 60 years ago that happened to me. And during these 60 years, I've needed to remember that promise again and again. When we're up against it or in a storm or in the darkness of the night, just to hear that voice saying, "It is I, be not afraid." Here they were in the midst of the storm, and they heard his saying, "It is I," reminding them of his promise. But not only hear the saying of our Lord, see the supremacy of our Lord. Remember, this is a dark night. The billows are rolling over the ship. The disciples are covering and cowering beneath the storm. What will they do? Here comes Jesus. And where is the Lord Jesus? Onto the waves? Onto the sea? No.
He is walking above the waves. It shows to us his supremacy. Let me put it to you this way. The waves that went over their heads, my friend, were under his feet. And can I say, that's exactly how it is in every storm that comes to us. No storm overcomes our Lord. In Mark chapter 4, it is another storm. It tells of the Lord Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship. There arose a great storm, writes Mark. There arose a great storm, and they wakened the Lord Jesus and said these words, curse thou not that we perish. Mark puts it lovely. Having said there arose a great storm, then he says, and Jesus arose. And thank God Jesus is always greater than the storm. He spoke to the wind and spoke to the wave, and they recognized the voice of their mighty Creator, and they settled down. Jesus is greater than the storm. Well, my friend, those circumstances that seem to be overwhelming, yes, over your head this morning, can I say they're under his feet? Jesus is in the midst of the storm. But the storm doesn't overcome him. He overcomes the storms. I say again, think of his saying to his disciples. Think of his supremacy. Think of his sympathy for them. Did he not say those words, be of good cheer? Be of good cheer. It is I. The Bible reminds us over there in Hebrews chapter 4 that in Jesus Christ we have a great high priest who has passed into the heavens. And then says the writer to the Hebrews, for we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. That's a double negative. For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched means that we have a high priest who is touched with every feeling of our infirmity. Every weakness that touches you, all the weariness that comes, the worry that comes over us, my friend, it touches him. And why? Simply for this reason, my friend, our Lord Jesus underwent 33 years here on earth. The Bible reminds us that he knew what it was to be weary, and he knew what it was to be hungry and to be thirsty. And the Lord Jesus wept. He is touched with everything that touches us. But because he underwent, he not only understands, thank God he undertakes for us. Oh, see, hear his saying, it is I. Look at his supremacy. He's above the waves. My friend, feel his sympathy this morning. He knows all about you. And our Heavenly Father, who is on the throne, why? His eye is on the sparrow, and he watches us. So, here we have the storm on the sea, and here we have the Savior on the sea. Let me just say something about the saint on the sea. Now, Peter was undoubtedly the foremost of all the disciples. He was the mouthpiece of the disciples. As a matter of fact, I think it must have been Peter who cried to the Lord and said, curse thou not that we perish. Isn't it amazing that years later he would write, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for you. He cares for each one of us. What a wonderful thing. Yeah, this is Peter. And when he saw Jesus walking on the waves, he said, Lord, if it be thou, it is I. It is the I am. If it is the I am, bid me come to thee. And Jesus just spoke one word, come. Incidentally, that word of the Lord Jesus is one of the most majestic words he ever spoke. John Wesley called the word come the king word, the queen word of all of the Bible. It's the invitation. And here he says to Peter, come. And don't you like those words when it said, Peter was come down out of the ship. Now that took a lot of... Did it take a lot of courage? Yes, courage, but it took a lot of faith. It took a lot of faith. And Peter came down out of the ship and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I cannot see a better picture of the Christian life than this. Remember, it is the dead of night. The darkness is around him. Remember, it's in the midst of the storm. Remember, the water is splashing against him. And what is Peter doing? He's walking on the waves. Is he walking on the waves? I think he was doing more than that. When Jesus said, come, he stepped out on the word. He could have stepped on the waves before that, but he'd have gone down. It's when Jesus said, come, he stepped out on the word. Stepped out. Maybe I'm speaking to someone this morning and the Lord is calling you out of your comfort zone. Challenging you, perhaps, as he did me as a young lad, to step out and serve him. Over 60 years ago, I heard his voice. It is I. Be not afraid. Thank God he gave me the grace to step out. Maybe God's challenging you to be a Sunday school teacher or a more active part in the church. Or maybe God's calling you to be a missionary. Can I say this morning, my friend, you can do no better than to step out in the word. Peter stepped out on the word. And therefore I ask you to see these three pictures of Peter. Peter stepping, walking, not on the waves, but walking on the word. When Jesus says, come, we were singing about it this morning. Standing on the promises of God. Stepping on the promises of God. The Bible tells us the just shall live by faith. We are called to walk by faith. And here is Peter in the dead of night. He cannot see the Lord, but he's walking on the word. Peter stepping. But then we read of Peter sinking. It says that when he saw the waves that were boisterous around him, he began to sink. He saw the wind boisterous, verse 30, and he was afraid. Ah, how often this happens to us. Remember Peter, the man who walked by faith. Peter was familiar with failure. This is the same Peter who later on would tell the Lord not to go to Calvary. This is the same Peter who later on would use a sword to take the ear of Malchus. The same Peter who would deny the Lord with oaths and curses. Oh, Peter. But can I say this is the same Peter who, after the Lord had changed him and transformed him, preached on the day of Pentecost, and 2,000 people were saved. I say that this morning because maybe I speak to a Christian in your field. My friend, can I say, failure need not be final. Failure need not be final. As a matter of fact, when I think of Peter sinking, and it says he saw the wind, I wonder were the other disciples, what were they doing? Someone said, maybe Thomas, one of the disciples, wasn't born. Remember, he was doubting Thomas. Can you imagine Thomas shouting, watch out, Peter, here comes a big one. He got his eyes of Jesus. You know, I say that this morning because sometimes an incident with a brother or a sister or something happens to you and you feel you just got your eyes of Jesus. My friend, whatever it is, when we take our eyes of Jesus, we fail. He was stepping on the word, but when he saw the wind, he went down. I ask you to think of not only Peter stepping and sinking, but see Peter saved. It tells us this word, that when he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Isn't it amazing it was a big, long prayer? He didn't go through Psalm 119 before he got to... No, just those three words, Lord, save me. And the Bible, listen to what it says, and immediately, not immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and saved him. Oh, what a wonderful Savior is our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Either you're going into a storm, you're in a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. The Apostle Peter wrote and said these words, a different metaphor. But he said, be not surprised concerning the fiery trial that is to try you. My friends, storms are part of the way. But you're in his plan. You're in his prayers. And listen, you've got his promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. During recent weeks, as a matter of fact, during this past week, we've got notice of the passing of a half a dozen friends, some of them very close friends. to go and visit those bereaved and troubled families in the midst of their grief. My friend, there's nothing else to offer them other than the comfort of the Scriptures. The assurance that comes to us from God's Word. And not only the assurance of this Word, but the promise that I will never leave you nor forsake. Take this Word into this week, the Monday and Tuesday of this week, and whatever circumstance may come upon you, let's remember this, every wave that seems to overwhelm you is under His feet. And Jesus never fails. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you will take these simple words and bless them to every heart this morning. We thank you, our Father, that where'er we meet thee, thou art found, and every place is hallowed ground. Therefore, we pray that you will bless the families in their homes this morning, the boys and girls, and the mums and dads and grandparents. And our Lord, we ask of thee that though we cannot meet as we would love to, yet, our Father, you have promised to meet with us. So take thy word and bless it to our hearts, we pray. In Christ's name we ask. Amen.